Well, here we are, finally.
It's been a long time.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? This is episode 19 of the Family Games. It feels so good to say that.
We are back from the dead.
We have a lot. We have had a lot of life
I guess we were only mostly dead. A little bit still alive.
He's only mostly dead. We have been going through a lot of stuff. We kind of knew that we might have a pause, unfortunately, in what we were doing. And sure enough, it happened.
Yep. About 4 months worth.
Oh, it was the worst. No, three. Whatever. Too long.
Yes.
Too long. So, for those of you who are actually keeping track through the podcast, weirdly enough, we have now sold our house and bought a new one.
Yay!
And we move in a month, and that's super exciting, and I get my own office, and I'm very happy about that.
So it might still be a while before we can manage to do this every week.
I'm still shooting for every week,
but
though,
because
all the hard stuff's done.
Yes.
Except for that 1 week when we move.
That 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so here we are. We are back. We've got lots of stuff to talk about. PAX East starts tomorrow
as of recording date,
but I'm gonna try to get this out today. What we want to do is kind of get everybody caught up, talk about what we've been doing for the last forever, talk about the kids because it's been a while, so
yeah,
you know, they've been doing
they've
some fancy schmancy stuff, and then a little bit of what we're looking forward to this year and what's going to be coming up. So let's do it.
Here we go. So we've played a lot of stuff, not as much as you might think given the gap. But
well,
still a lot of stuff.
We played a lot of stuff, but we played a lot of stuff multiple times.
Yes.
Probably the top of the list for anybody who pays attention to board games is Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah.
Pandemic
Legacy has been fun. Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who have ever played the game Pandemic before, the Legacy series are these games where basically they take a normal game like Pandemic, or they did one for Risk before, and they're making a new one that we'll talk about a little bit later. And what the Legacy stuff does is it wraps a plot around the base mechanics of the game.
And makes it a little harder, honestly.
It's a little harder. Permanent things happen. So over the course of the game, you're literally ripping up cards, or you're putting stickers on the board, or the characters that you play have effects that are attributed to them. You get scars and stuff like that.
You're making changes that affect how the next play of the game goes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild stuff, and it's a lot more intense because you know it's not like you're like, oh well, next time we play we'll just do it all over again, because this is permanent.
There's consequences to your actions.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
There were a lot of times when we were playing where we were like pacing around the table, almost like when people go all in poker.
Yeah.
When they realize there's nothing they can do, they're like, oh no, flip the card. Oh, so
yeah,
it's good stuff. So we like that game a lot. We played a lot of that. Yep. We did just get in the mail the new and improved version of Campaign Trails. So we talked about that on the show. There was a Kickstarter for that last year that unfortunately didn't quite make it. So
but there's a new Kickstarter starting in May.
There's a new Kickstarter starting in May. May 3rd, I want to say. They've redone some stuff. The new art looks awesome.
Yeah.
They've changed some of the rules. They've cleaned some of the stuff up, and we just played it for the first time last night. It was pretty great. Yeah,
this time, rather than reviewing, we're actually playing it to play test it and help work out a few last little bugs before it goes to Kickstarter.
We are stoked.
It's
so
awesome.
If you do hear this before or during PAX East, I will actually have the copy that we were sent in my backpack roaming the show floor, and if you tweet me at Nightskyre, NightSkyre, or come find us on Facebook at facebook.com/familygamersaa, and just kind of poke at me, I would be more than happy to sit down in the tabletop area and play that, because that game is fun.
Yeah.
So what else have we been playing?
We finally got around to playing Tokaido. We've had it sitting on our shelf for quite a while.
Yes. Tokaido is a game that was made by Anthony Bauska, who also was involved in the creation of Hanabi and Takenoko and a couple other games.
A lot of Japanese-themed games.
Yeah,
Japan-themed.
And it's great. Basically, it's a game about traveling the Japanese countryside.
Yeah.
And it's very
zen.
Zen.
It's very zen.
And even though you're playing against everybody else, it doesn't really feel like it. It's a very calming game. Like, it's a great game. If you have people that, you know, like, they kind of want to play games, but they don't really like the competitiveness of games.
Yeah.
And co-op's not working, or you just don't really feel like playing a co-op game, something like this is a great option. This is actually something that I think we're going to break out with the kids, because the ideas behind it are very simple.
There's a winner and a loser, but the game is really more about what did you do on your journey.
Right. But without being, like, earthy, crunchy, dumb. Or whatever.
But the word you're looking for is dumb.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a lot of aspects to this game that our 5-year old's not going to get the deep strategy, but you know, he'll be like, oh well, I want to go here to finish the next piece of my mural or whatever it is, and so it's going to be a good game in that regard because it's not like, oh, you got blocked from doing this thing and you're doomed, you know. So it's a good game in that regard.
What else? If you ever read our website, thefamilygamers.com, you will have seen that we played Junking.
Yep, and we had reviewed some friends of ours do a guest review for Junking, which was a lot of fun, and hopefully they'll be doing some more reviews for us.
Yeah, but that's a fun game. Good for kids. More strategic than it would appear on the surface. But cool game, and if you want to know more, go look at the review that our friend Liz wrote on the website.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You've been playing this iOS game that I think we saw it at PAX East maybe like two or 3 years ago?
Yeah, and I've kind of gone back and forth. I'll play it for a while, and then I'll put it down for a while, play it for a while, put it down for a while. It's called Out There, Omega Edition.
Well, I know nothing about it, so it's on you.
It's the premise of this game is that you are the remaining survivor from a spaceship accident, basically. And you have been catapulted into the far reaches of space. So you have no idea where you are. You're all alone. And you're just trying to figure out how to get back home. I will preface this by saying I have played probably well over 100 times at this point. I have never, ever managed to win the game.
Oh, great.
Except recently I decided to try it on easy instead of normal, and I finally managed to get to an ending that wasn't me dying.
So is this like a survival game, like Out There or Starve?
So you're traveling, and that uses up fuel for your ship and oxygen, and occasionally accidents happen and your hull gets gradually worn away. Those are basically your three bars.
Sure.
Fuel, oxygen, hull. And the thing is, you can go and mine a ore-rich planet for more things to repair your hull. You can go use like a hydrogen scoop on a gas giant to replace your fuel. But both of those things will tend to wear down your hull and use more fuel in the process.
Sure.
So it's this balancing act of get more resources, but you spend resources to do it. You don't always know what you're going to get, sort of thing. And you're trying to travel the whole time, which also uses up fuel and oxygen. They make it fairly interesting by having you also encounter lots of different random events along the way, as well as you can choose whether or not to engage with aliens that you meet. And when you first meet aliens, you can't understand anything they're saying. But the more you interact with aliens, the more words you learn throughout the course of the game. So it's pretty neat, and it's very hard. And it's sort of mostly randomly generated, so it's different every time.
Mm-hmm. So this is not for kids?
Not for kids, although I would think an older kid like 10, 11 would probably enjoy it.
The kind of thing where they could bury themselves in it and not come out for a few hours.
Pretty much. I mean, I've had games that lasted 5 minutes because I immediately, like, basically ran into an asteroid and all the oxygen bled off and I couldn't get more and I died. But most of the time my games, you know, if I was to sit down and play it all in one shot, which I don't normally do, but my games last about an hour to 2 hours of playtime.
Okay.
And I die.
But the problem there is it can vary wildly, it sounds like. So that's something to be aware of if you're going to have a
very
a kid
much
playing
so.
Something like
even
that.
If you and as adult are going to play, because you'll be like, oh, I'm just going to get to the next planet and then I'm going to look and then I'm going to quit. So it does work out well that it lets you save and come back, which not all iOS games do.
Right. And how much is it? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but we will put it on the show notes.
Okay.
It was not very much, maybe $3-4.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Well, a lot of iOS games are like that. So.
But for a game with a lot of replayability, I like it.
We've been playing a lot of iOS versions of board games, which is, I think, something that we've kind of always talked about doing.
We've talked about it before.
We picked up Splendor on sale for 99 cents, which was
That's been fantastic. Yeah.
Picked up Puerto Rico on iOS, which actually I bought it, but you've been playing more of it.
I've been playing more of it. Well, because I remembered how much I liked playing Puerto Rico, but it's not one that normally kind of floats to the top on our board game night. Right. We usually pick something else. So being able to play it against the computer and
see, that's how I feel about Lords of Waterdeep. Yeah. Like, that's why I play that so much.
Three or four or five players, it all works out.
See, for some reason, like, I played it a few times, and the translation to digital didn't work as well as it did for Lords of Waterdeep for me.
Sure. It took me a couple of playthroughs to get used to the minor differences, but once I did, I've been enjoying it.
Right. So, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff. Oh, I did buy Baseball Highlights 2045 for iOS. This is a really, really cool game. I would highly recommend this to anybody with a kid who's into baseball. I almost was going to say like a dad and a son, but I don't want to be gender normative here. Who's like probably in that like maybe 8 to 12 range. You know, I mean, older is fine, obviously, but basically you start off with a deck of relatively mundane baseball players. The premise is, so baseball is waning in popularity. It's the year 2045, so they've kind of recreated baseball, and there are naturals, which are fully human players, then there's cyborgs, which are augmented humans, and then there's robots.
I see.
Yeah. And so the neat thing about it is that you've got a mix of these kinds of things in your hand, and I honestly don't really know how it plays as a board game. My understanding is it plays extremely similarly to the way the iOS version does.
Sure.
But so you have a certain number of credits that you can buy better cards with.
Okay.
But when you buy a card, you've got to swap something out and send it to the miners. Right. And so over the course of a 7-game series, which is what you're playing against the computer, you slowly get some credits and you can buy some better cards. And it becomes almost a little bit like a drafting kind of game.
Yeah.
And you get a slightly better team. And then the way it works is that different cards have effects on them that'll allow you to do things like cancel hits, turn hits into walks, pick people off bases, stuff like that. And then at the bottom, and then they also have a speed, so slow, advanced, fast.
So there's an offense and a defense? Sort of?
Kind of, because not every card has something like that on it.
Right, but in general, I mean, they're representing both the offensive and sort the defensive of, yeah. parts of baseball within yeah. the game.
So the way it sort of works is that you basically, you're almost playing offset innings. It's a little strange. So you each have a field that you're trying to kind of play hits and stuff on. There are singles and doubles and triples and home runs and stuff.
Okay.
But at the same time, the card that you play might have a defensive effect that'll affect the other person's field.
Okay.
So you might play a card that picks some people off and you get a single.
Okay.
You know, and there's some like event driven stuff. Like if you play this first, then you get a single, or if you're playing against a cyborg, then you cancel all of the hits, you know, and there's some neat stuff like that. It's a really, really interesting take on this sort of like card draft building sort of thing. And I had gotten an iTunes gift card or something for Christmas. So I figured it was a game that I really wanted to try out in you know, real life. So this was a chance to get a feel for it.
So you did.
And yeah, so that's a game that if I find it on sale somewhere, I'll probably buy it, like the real game.
Yeah, all right.
So, yep.
So there's plenty more that we've played, but those are the ones we could think of.
in the 5 minutes we spent preparing for the show. No. We've got some reviews coming up. We have a couple games that we just received this past week that we're going to be putting some reviews out for. Two games called Jurassic Attack and Best Treehouse Ever. I went through the rules for Best Treehouse Ever. It's kind of a Sushi Go-like sort of drafting thing where you're trying to build this treehouse, but you have to keep it balanced on the tree. So,
Neat. Yeah,
it's going to be pretty neat. So we'll get into that pretty soon. I think that we should take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the kids, and then we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in 2016.
All right. And we're back.
We is back.
Your grammar is atrocious.
Only when I'm trying to be silly.
Fair enough.
So the kids, they've been growing.
Yep.
It's a thing that they do. They continue to enjoy playing games. This morning, your mom
Yeah.
And our kids were playing Robot Turtles together.
It was adorable because our 5-year-old wanted to be the turtle mover, the one making the maze and responsible for moving everything around. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to explain to my mother, who's in her 70s, how you play the game.
So what that actually showed me was that, you know, when we first introduced this game to our kid, there would be no chance that he would even have a clue.
Yeah.
What was going on. He could barely play the game, even though we were walking him through it.
Yeah.
And
that was about 2 years ago.
But we haven't played it that much.
No, we haven't.
But the fact that they took the initiative to take the game out, set it up, and he built a maze for your mom.
He did.
And was showing her how to play the game was really rewarding because it shows that they're picking up on a lot of this logical progression stuff that we've kind of been trying to teach them through playing games.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
I actually was having a pretty good time, like, standing in the background, not being involved at all. And I did find it hysterical when our 7-year-old daughter was getting super frustrated trying to explain the rules.
Because the 5-year-old wasn't doing a great job explaining, and my mom was not doing a great job understanding.
Oh, it was delightful. I could have sold tickets. It was hysterical. It was funny.
But
we have been playing a few games kind of with the kids lately, or even in this last week, I picked up Ratchet & Clank for PlayStation 4.
You did, and so, as soon as the kids saw you playing it, they asked if they could play.
Right, so this game is unique because there's a lot of games right now that are getting the HD re-release treatment.
Yeah.
Well, the way this game is...
And some of them you would totally go for if they were HD re-released, like Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Any Zelda game ever.
I did not buy the HD re-release of Twilight Princess, but I did get the Wind Waker one.
Yes.
But the thing about the HD re-releases is all they're doing is taking the stock game and kind of up-resing some stuff. So you can tell it's an HD up-res. With Ratchet and Clank,
haven't really changed anything in the game. They're just making it look nicer.
Well, so, okay. So they're making a Ratchet and Clank movie.
Yes.
Which is based on the first Ratchet and Clank game.
Right.
This game is based on the movie.
Right. So it's more of a full-fledged reboot than a...
But it's a reboot, but it's not a reboot in the sense that they've really changed anything. I mean, they've literally recreated the game from the ground up, and there's different stuff sometimes in some places, but pretty much the game is the same.
Okay.
So it is everything is recreated, not just up-rest.
Sure.
And you can tell. I mean, the game looks spectacular.
It does.
This game on casual, our 5-year-old can play it, no sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of gets lost sometimes, but he's not getting killed left and right or anything like that. This is the kind of game where I think somebody like me, who kind of is a gamer, really should play it on hard. I'm playing it on normal, and it's not very hard.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get hard later. I don't know. But
probably not. You should up it to hard.
Yeah. If I can in the middle of the game, I will. Otherwise, I'm not going back.
Fair enough.
But it's a really fun game. You can play it with the kids around. It's Ratchet and Clank. So you're playing as a, I don't know, he's like
fox-like animal.
Thing. He's got a rodent. Name. He's some special race. And then there's the adorable robot that's on his back, Clank. Yeah.
He's a defective killbot or something like that.
A warbot, I think.
Warbot,
war machine, warbot, something like that. But yeah,
he
wants to. So Ratchet wants to be a galactic ranger, protector of the universe, and
is he roundly shot down.
But yeah, well, because he doesn't fit like the
by his hero.
The stereotype. Yeah, so his hero crushes him in the first few minutes of the game. Not to, you know, spoiler alert, but you go through
great lesson for kids.
Yeah, you kind of do all the stuff, and it's got some adorable humor. It's pretty tongue in cheek. I like it a lot. Yeah. Highly recommend that game. It's a discount title right now. It's $40.
Oh, yeah?
It's not a full fledged $60 re-release.
Not too bad.
Which is nice considering how much work they did to recreate this thing. And if you have Amazon Prime or you have Best Buy Gamer Club Unlocked, you get 20% off.
Also
so for
nice.
$32, that is a solid, solid buy for PS4.
All right.
You've been playing the crap out of
Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter.
Yes,
which I literally have never played.
Yes. Well, it's not your kind of game, really. As we've said before, it harkens back to my favorite game of my childhood when I only had a computer and nothing else to game on, which was Sim Tower. Fallout Shelter, we've talked about it before. Really, the only notable thing is that they've made some updates to it so it no longer crashes incessantly on older hardware.
Oh, so it doesn't crash on the iPad 2?
So it doesn't crash on the iPad 2, at least not very often.
Oh,
I can't say
nice.
It doesn't at all.
Oh, okay.
But that means our kids have been playing it on the iPad 2 a lot. I kind of gave up playing it on the iPad 2 because I was too frustrated. And then once you got a new iPad, I started playing way more than I probably should. but the kids have been playing it on the iPad 2. And they were putting up with the crashing, but now it doesn't seem to do that anymore. They both thoroughly enjoy it, but the five-year-old more so.
I think we might have to introduce him to Minecraft. I think it might have to happen.
I think we might be there.
He's the creative one out of the two of them. Totally.
Yeah. Well, and he likes that idea of having his own little world, and he's in charge, and he decides what goes where, and nobody else can tell him not to do it that way.
Right.
Which
there's no alpha sibling.
Yeah. Exactly.
So all right. So yeah. So Fallout Shelter.
So yeah,
and we've also been taking turns playing with the kids or letting the kids play the Lego games. I mean, we've kind of we've talked about the Lego games before.
The younger one is playing Lego Star Wars. Mm-hmm. The older one is playing Lego Marvel
Superheroes.
Yeah, because the Lego Marvel Superheroes is a lot more complex.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's a harder game necessarily.
I don't think it's a harder game.
Plus, the Lego games are pretty good about letting you live forever. You just lose all of your studs.
All your coins. Studs. Yeah, they call them studs.
They've been enjoying them. You know what it is they're like destination games. Like they look at it and they say, well, daddy plays the PS4. Now I can play Ratchet. You know, now I can play PS4. And for them, it's always Ratchet and Clank, but they're doing the thing that I'm doing. And so that's kind of scratches that itch for them. So that's a pretty good thing. And, you know, it's out in the open. So, you know, we're kind of all involved when we're doing it.
Yep.
I'm trying to stay just enough ahead of them so that they can ask me questions, you know, these kinds of things. So
I can mention a few more things that the kids have been playing without pretty much any adult involvement at all, which is our daughter still loves Mario Super Sluggers for the Wii, which thankfully is playable on the Wii U. She still loves it. It feels like she's achieving something when she plays.
Well, there's something very visceral about that crack of the bat when you hit the ball. I mean, come on, it's baseball.
But she spends half the time walking around the little world and figuring out, you know, what she needs to do to unlock the next baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have been enjoying playing, whatever the current Mario Kart is. Mario Kart Wii U?
Mario Kart 8.
That's right. And that's been interesting to watch from a distance because now that our 7-year-old is pretty good at it, and the 5-year-old really, really wants to play, she's doing a much better job of encouraging her little brother and saying, you know what? Hey, you didn't come in last place this time and you're doing better. And rather than the way it was early on, which is, come on, we're waiting forever. Come on, just finish.
And the moral of the story here.
Or let me do it for you.
Like, the important thing about this is that I've actually talked to a lot of parents who have multiple kids who say it's very difficult to play with multiple children because it's so hard to lose. Or, you know, you don't really want to play against them the way you would play against other people because you kind of, if they don't win, then they get frustrated or whatever. Yeah. And the moral of the story here is that, you know, we let them lose and we let them learn what it's like to have to struggle through this stuff. And so, you know, our 7-year-old, Claire, she knows what it's like to lose. And so she became a lot more empathetic when our 5-year-old would get frustrated about losing and she won. And so instead of lording it over her, she's actually processing that she has gone through the same experience and trying to be a little bit more supportive of her little brother, which, you know, is for me as a parent rewarding to show that, you know, you don't have to coddle your kids incessantly all of the time. It actually helps them.
Well, and I think especially when you start talking about with the, you know, multiple kids, part of it is teaching them how to lose and teaching them how to win with grace. But another aspect is to try to keep some balance in there. And, you know, when you have multiple kids, some are going to be older, which makes them naturally better at a lot of things because just their fine motor skills are more developed, their gross motor skills are more developed, they're bigger, you know, they've just had longer to work this stuff out. But if you kind of step back and try lots of different things, you can still find things that, you know, the younger ones are good at or even better at. I know in particular, back when we were playing a lot of Santa's Little Helpers in the Ice Cube Jam, our 5-year-old really enjoyed that because that was a game he could win at
mm-hmm.
fairly regularly.
Yep.
In talking about this, it reminded me of a game that we played over the holidays, holiday being Easter in this case. I was really shocked. This is it's a game made by Melissa and Doug.
The who kids, they make wooden blocks.
They make wooden a lot of wooden toys, yeah. And I've never thought of them making anything for people over about age 6. They all seem like really little kid toys. But your sister brought over this game called Suspend, made by Melissa and Doug. This game was devilishly hard, but an easy enough concept that the younger kids could pick it up and play along. It's sort of Jenga-like, a little bit.
It reminded me of Jenga and also that game with all the sticks and the marbles Kerplunk. On the top. Kerplunk, whatever that thing's called.
Yep,
and,
I had that game.
And Zitternix, kind of yes. all
kind of rolled together.
In one game.
You've got these metal sticks that have different little notches on them, and as you roll a die, it tells you which one of your colored sticks you need to put on this creation that the whole group is sort of creating.
Yeah, so the game starts, there's basically like a hook. You can almost think of like a hangman hook
yeah.
kind of thing. And there's, I think, 4 or 5 different color handles on all these different metal sticks. And, you know, all of the yellow ones are all bent the same way.
The same way.
They've got these little knobby they've got little notches,
yeah.
And so you'd roll the die, and then you'd have to take one of your things of that color and balance it on this precariously balanced structure somehow, somewhere. Yeah.
If in making things balance, you make some of the other sticks fall, you have to take those sticks and add them to your pile. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to be the first one to run out of sticks. It looks way easier than it actually is to play. And this was another good example of reminding our kids what it's like to be, you know, to lose gracefully.
I will say, though, like, it's such a great free-form thinking game.
Yes.
Because you can look at it and say, well, if I put this on this way, then and as you start to let go, you see the structure change.
Move and
then you
rebalance.
Can kind of take it and yeah. try to put it somewhere else or even putting it on so that you know it's going to lean, but it's going to lean and catch on something, and so that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's a great game to really just – you can be so creative with how you solve the problem because
yes.
it's not a game where it's like you need an orange cube and a white cube and a purple cube to solve this issue.
Yeah.
It's you need to put this thing on this structure. You figure it out.
This is a good game for creative thinkers, people who don't like games, which is just follow this rule and do this thing and move on to the next thing.
And it's cheap. It's like under $15 on
yeah.
Amazon.
We're going to be getting our own copy. I guarantee it.
Awesome. So, all right.
Let's wrap it up and talk about some things we're looking forward to in the rest of 2016.
Sure. So we just, I mean, going on the Kickstarter train, you know, we talked about Campaign Trail. That's going to
yep.
be launching on
campaign
Kickstarter.
Campaign Trail.
In a few short weeks. So that is definitely something I'm looking forward to. We just got a bunch of stuff. We got Lost Woods and World Fair 1893.
Yes. I'm looking forward to playing
those. We
haven't
had a chance to play either one of them. So, you know, we are fans of Kickstarter. I mean, if nothing else, like, the hype train is out of control with Kickstarter stuff because it's like, it's coming in the mail! Ah!
It's finally here!
Yeah. So there's that. I mentioned before when we were talking about Pandemic Legacy that we're going to talk
yes.
about another Legacy game. There is a game coming out this year, probably, called Seafall. It's published by Plaid Hat Games. In fact, the first place I am going tomorrow at PAX is the Plaid Hat booth.
Games.
Because if I find out they have copies of Seafall for sale and I'm not one of the people buying one, I will be quite put out.
Even if they don't have them for sale, I'm sure you will sit there and play if you get a chance
to. I will whimper and whine until they say, just take it and leave. Whatever. I don't care. So this is a game that is, it's a legacy game. So it's got this story. It's got this plot. And the thing that's different about this is it's not coming from a pre-existing intellectual property. So there's really freedom to do whatever you want, or whatever the creator wanted. And it's a story about pirates and privateering, and it comes with
an exploration,
and it comes with a book of, quote, captain's tales, which is almost like a choose-your-own-adventure book that's somehow incorporated into this, and it sounds awesome. And I really want to play it.
Seriously.
Really badly.
The only way you wouldn't have heard Andrew talking about this is if you don't know us in person, if you only listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
If the topic of games comes up in person, he eventually turns it around to this.
Oh, have you heard Messy Fall? It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think probably as long as this game is $80 or less, I'm buying it as soon as I see it.
I know you are.
anyway, but there's another game that I'm supposed to pick up a copy of tomorrow,
yes,
at Taxis, that you are excited about.
Well, it sounds cute and funny and fun. It's called Pirates of the Caribbean Farm. Let's say that a little faster. Pirates of the Caribbean Farm. it looks really adorable. There's these little piratey rats who are trying to steal pies. It's a card game. I don't have a whole lot more information than that right now, but it's on Kickstarter and you're getting a copy and we'll talk about it more after I get a chance to play it.
Yep. And then reviews and previews and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
We'll be following. So that'll be fun.
I'm sure once you go to PAX East and come back, you will have lots more to talk about.
I will have many, many things. This is the first year I am not bringing any kind of recording device with me.
That's okay.
So there will be no...
No PAX interviews or anything.
I might guest host on something if it comes up.
Yeah.
That's a thing that might happen. Let's see. What else is going on? So this year, we've talked before about this thing called the Boston Festival of Indie Games.
Yes.
Which is...
We enjoy it. We've been going for the last 3 years,
yep,
I think.
Yep. We've been... This is actually the fifth year of it.
Yeah, we didn't go the first year.
Because we didn't go to... So it's the five-year or whatever. Yeah. Five-year anniversary.
Fifth annual.
Yep. The fifth annual. And that's in September. It is held at MIT. There's a lot of independent board game and video game companies or developers. Or, I mean, sometimes, you know, we met a 10-year-old girl that had made a game with her dad that had a booth there.
It was adorable.
Which was super cute. But I actually applied for, and I, as far as I understand, am going to be a judge of the board games at Boston Festival.
It'll be pretty sweet.
So that's going to be pretty fun. That's going to be in September in Boston. So if you are in the area or will be in the area or would consider being in the area, I would definitely say check that out.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a lot less overwhelming than something like PAX or Gen Con or whatever.
It's cheap. It's like $10 a person.
And it's only one day.
So highly, highly recommend that. They've actually had some pretty good guest speakers there. We've never done any of the panel stuff because we've always had the kids with us.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kids have a great time. PBS is there.
Yeah. Well, not PBS. WGBH.
I'm sorry, WGBH is there. Right.
Which would be largest producer of PBS content on the East Coast.
Come on, they make Curious George. I mean, what else is there? Is there anything else on PBS?
Peep.
Oh yeah,
they make Peep in the Big Wide World.
Okay, so pretty much that's it, right?
That's about it. That's all we need to know.
The one with the cat. What's the new one?
Peg plus cat. I don't know. I don't know if they make that one. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, it's a great time. There's lots of kid focused stuff there. I mean, it's very affordable. And if you've never been to a con and you're not sure if you can handle the con thing, I know some people have. You know, like stress issues with thousands of people. Definitely one to check out because it's a lot smaller and it's just a lot more casual. And I mean, the people you're talking to are people who are much more intimately involved with what they're doing.
Yeah. Having been to a few different kinds of cons at this point, I would say, especially if you were, you know, obviously if you listen to the Family Gamers, you're interested in board games and video games.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in that kind of thing and you want your kids to see more than just, hey, we go to the store and buy some, or some show up in a box, but to talk to the people who make them, this is the best opportunity, at least in New England, to go talk to people who make games.
Hugely agree. All right, so we are pretty much done. I am so excited to be doing this again.
Yes.
Oh, man. It's been like progressively on our minds more and more. Like, yeah, you know, you're really not doing a good job.
You look like a load's been lifted from your shoulders. Right.
I am no longer Atlas.
No, you just have to carry the weight of everything else that we're doing.
Awesome. Anyway.
That's our show. All right.
That's the show. Anitra, where can people find us?
They can find us on the World Wide Web.
Yes, at
thefamilygamers.com.
Thefamilygamers.com. Where else?
They can email us. I am Anitra, A-N-I-T-R-A, at thefamilygamers.com.
I am Andrew at thefamilygamers.com.
They can find us on Twitter.
Twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA.
That's right. And Facebook.
Facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA. AA. We actually have a community on Facebook, which is slowly growing.
Yes.
That's at Facebook.com/groups/FamilyGamersAA.
Excellent.
So that's pretty much it for us. Please, if you listen and you have not left us a review on iTunes.
Shame on you.
No, come on.
Sorry, I was pulling on my mom voice there for a second. Oh, okay.
Jeez. Could you please do that? Little text in there. Talk about how much you do or don't like us. Whatever's fine.
Even if you don't like us, leave a review. But we'd like you a lot better if you left us a 5-star review.
Well, I'm just going to advocate for truth, justice, and the American way.
Isn't that Superman's deal?
Whatever. How about just please leave us a review on iTunes.
All right,
we'll leave it at that.
Fine.
And we will be back next week with thoughts about PAX East.
We promise.
We promise to try.
Yes.
Bye-bye.